Well, hello. Hello. You can already see what my title is. So this year, we, as Martin just said, we've been working through the book of Ephesians. And we've shown you the Bible Project video a couple of times because it's just so jolly good, isn't it? And that broadly splits the book into two halves. The first half is the gospel story, which is this, you know, what Jesus did. And we're now in the second half, which is our story and what we are supposed to do. Rod spoke brilliantly for the last 2 weeks, covering Ephesians 4:16, walking in unity and maturity, and from Ephesians 4:17, walking in new life. Today, we're considering Ephesians 5:8-21, and the title is Walking in Light and Wisdom. So at first glance, this looks a lot like the last 2 weeks, and it's a shorter passage, so I shouldn't take very long, but don't get your hopes up. But I hope you'll see that actually there's something else that God's trying to build into what he's saying, building on top of what's already been said in the last two passages. And that is, who we are in him makes us his witnesses to the world. Thank you, Graham, for the icebreaker. Excellent. I don't need a joke. I've got your phone. It quacked at me. Excellent. Right, so here we go. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it's said, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So, the first thing I noticed about this passage is the middle bit. Because those of you who know me know that I've always been interested. My taste in books and films has always run to science fiction and fantasy. And I've enjoyed the, you know, things like the extended versions of The Lord of the Rings many, many times. I would be quite happy to watch them again. That's just what I like. One of my favourite books is Dune, which has recently become sort of trendy again. But I liked it when it wasn't trendy. the original book, not the sequels, never really got on with them. I've read it many times, and so I'm quite capable of telling you how the various TV and movie versions deviate from the book. Don't even get me started. Its primary interest is a young man called Paul, who has hidden depths caused by thousands of years of breeding, to create a super being, which at the start of the book he's only just beginning to understand, and he's hesitant to fully embrace everything it means. Partway through the book, he does embrace it, and his vision and his capacity hugely increase. The phrase he says at this point is, "The sleeper has awakened." Actually, he says, "Father, the sleeper has awakened." Which is very similar to the exhortation. I wonder if Frank Herbert just nicked it, to be honest. It's very similar to the exhortation in our passage today. Wake up. Somehow, when we're not seeing ourselves in this way, we're asleep. And we need to see things for how they really are. But the power and vision that we receive comes from, not from within ourselves, from our superior genetics, like Paul and June. No, for us, it's placed there by the Holy Spirit of God. Our inheritance, not from our genetics, but from our adoption as children of God. So how should we wake up? So let's start by having a look what comes immediately before my passage, what comes before the four of verse 8. So one of my themes for today is that the whole book of Ephesians is one message, really. And as I said earlier, the second half is about our story, our response to what Jesus has done for us. So what's come before this? Four. Our recent teaching has covered things like living life's God's way, not like the Gentiles do. Put the bad things down. Don't say or do bad things. Get rid of bad feelings. Be kind and compassionate. Say helpful things that build each other up, the church, and forgive each other. Let me just draw your attention to chapter 5, verse 1, which I think is some way just at the heart of the book of Ephesians. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children. So yes, we are called to do the things in Ephesians, but the context is important. We're following our Father who loves us. Or to put it another way, just like any child, we're learning what is right by copying our daddy. That's what this means. Then immediately before today's passage comes verses 5 to 7. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. And with those verses, I think we're going from sort of personal instructions, which have come before, to wisdom. Don't partner with people who have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. Don't put your eggs in their basket. Don't be sold out for them. So if verse 1 is the sort of heart of the book, or certainly of this section, then I think verse 8 is the why. It's the sort of core truth I'm going to talk about today. It's the sort of head to the heart, if you like. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. See, this is personalized. It says you were darkness, now you are light. Not in darkness or in light, but you were darkness and now you are light. I spoke some years ago on the fact there are only two kingdoms. There's no middle ground. You're either in the kingdom of God or you're in the other one. And that's what this is sort of implying. You were darkness and now you're light. There's no middle ground. So stop pretending there is and live as children of light. So it's not just about where we are, whether we're in light or in darkness, whether we're living a kingdom life or not. This passage is just as much about our effect on the world around us. Do we spread the light of God's kingdom? We need to be the light. So this passage tells us that we are the light in the Lord. So we need to be that light. Light is a powerful picture in the Bible, and I've spoken about it before. In this passage, it's very much about the ability to see what is true, to reveal and not to conceal. Light and darkness are pictures of God's kingdom of light and the other one. But just because that kingdom of darkness is influenced by the enemy, by the great deceiver, as he's known, that doesn't mean that it's hidden from God. Nothing is too dark for God to see. There are a lot of passages saying this, but perhaps the clearest is Hebrews 4:13. Oh, there we go. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. So I'm sorry this morning if you think God isn't seeing some part of who you are, or if you believe that God is too holy to look at some things in this world. God sees everything. There is nothing that's cloaked in shadows from him. The enemy may deceive us, but he has never deceived our Father. The darkness has no place in God, and one day all deception and darkness will be banished. Revelations 21 says, I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. So Ephesians 5, verse 8, is saying that we are light in the Lord, like God is light. This passage is talking about light in the meaning of that everyone can see. God's light through us is powerful, as we'll go on to look at. So this passage then goes on to tell us how all of that happens. There we go. Firstly, you know, we need to be visible so that people can see us. We need to do the right thing and be seen to do the right thing. We represent the kingdom of God, and how we are seen reflects on it. So, you know, the word we often use, isn't it, is we're ambassadors for the kingdom of God in this world. So we should try and be good ones. Part of that witness is how we are as we go about our lives. People should see the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our character. So it says in verse 8 and 9, live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. So this isn't magic, and it's not even directly supernatural. This is the set of changes that living with and learning from God have made in us, in who we are. And there isn't really any way to shortcut this process. You have to live the life and grow the fruit. This passage says goodness, righteousness, and truth, but you'll be familiar with, you know, other longer lists in the New Testament. But you get the principle. We should take after our dad. The more we walk with him and live life with him and are filled with his spirit, the more we take on his characteristics. And that is part of our witness. But it's not just about our character. It's also about making some conscious choices about the way we live our lives. So verses 10 and 11 say, find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. So obviously this has been spoken about already in our series of Ephesians, and the last two talks have sort of said what a mature Christian living looks like. And in case you've already forgotten, it gives a summary of bad things to avoid and good things to do. But before it says that, it says, verse 15, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. And that verse bears a closer look. So here we go. This is about being careful to live according to wisdom, meaning God's wisdom. Or as verse 17 puts it, understand what God's will is. Anything else is foolishness. But notice the then in this sentence. Be careful then. Because all of the light stuff that is in, you know, 8 to 14 there, we should try and live like that. And this second part of this verse is saying that there are opportunities. There are opportunities out there, and that by living this way, we will make the most of them. So to put all that back together, by carefully living according to God's wisdom, we will make the most of every opportunity to be light. So as I said, our actions reflect on God. We're his ambassadors in this world, and we know well from our news that the actions of ambassadors reflect on their country. That's the only topical comment. Only topical comment this morning, I promise you. Listen to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20, which is where we most often think of this word ambassador in the Bible. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Reconciled. So what does that mean then? It means that our relationship with God is restored to a place of harmony. Not that we're perfect right now, but that we're getting on with God. We're comfortable in who we are in him, that he's our God and we are his. We are reconciled to him. And that's an important part of this being an ambassador. So notice that our being right with God is not just for our own benefit. God is making his appeal through us. We need to be reconciled with God so that we can be effective for him. But it's not just about us as ambassadors. Verse 11 says, "Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them." So we affect the world around us. We also shine a light on that things going on around us. Something about the light of God in those who are in Christ can show others who aren't in Christ what's really going on in the world. To shine a light in the darkness and show a lie of the enemy for what it really is. Now that can have difficult consequences for us sometimes because some people won't want to hear that. It makes them feel uncomfortable or unclean. And the New Testament talks about this and calls it persecution for Christ's followers. And in our society, I think that, you know, there is risk that if we shine the light of God into the darkness, that persecution may come. But doing so will reach some people. Those who see the truth in that glimpse of light in the darkness, for those, it will bring them one step closer to their own relationship with God, so that one day they too will stop being darkness and become light. And remember, for some context, that the guy who wrote Ephesians, Paul, once actively and viciously persecuted Christians. He was living in darkness until someone showed him light, and he responded. But none of that works unless we are light. Not in theory, but in practice. A light that can be seen. So verse 13 says, "But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes light." So you can probably guess the next verse I'm going for. In Matthew 5, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." I've heard a translation that says bucket that I'm particularly fond of. Don't hide your light under a bucket. I think it's a more evocative phrase. Try and remember that one this morning. But that's what this is about. We have to be visible. There we go. Excellent slides. So sometimes when we read a passage or hear a talk like this, we can get fixated on the don't messages. Don't be darkness. Don't be debauched. Don't be foolish. All true, all very good things. Don't do those things. But we also need to focus on the things we can do and how we do them. So verse 18 to 20 says, "Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." This is how God has called us to live. And lots of the time I think we do it. I see it around us all the time. Because it's God's way, we know that it's good for us. And it's a witness to others. Today, I want to emphasize one particular part of this. Thankfulness. Thankfulness to our Father in the name of Jesus while being filled with the Holy Spirit, that is good for us and is the most amazing witness. Right, verse 21, the end of my bit and the start of the next. So for the last verse, we're partway through this series of a relatively short book of Ephesians. But I hope you can see that it's all sort of saying the same thing. God is building a message through this book, and it's really practical. It's telling us how to live for God and with God. This ideal of how we live together, of what wisdom and living right and being seen to live right, is then developed in this last verse of the passage that I've covered today, which is really the first verse of the next passage, so I won't say too much about it, because this all flows together. Verse 21 says we should submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is part of being light. How Christians submit to one another, love one another, how we prefer each other's good over our own, that is a witness to the world of a different way to live. It's a witness to the people who walk through our doors. It's one of the first things they notice. And we don't do it primarily because all the other Christians are great people. Although, of course, you're all great people. We do it out of reverence for Jesus Christ. And that is how this becomes part of next week's talk, which has got some practical examples in it of the way that we live that out and this love of Christ for his people and his people for Christ. But I won't say any more about that because Martin will kick me in the knee because it's his talk. And then actually God flows into a very famous bit after that, right, which I think links right back to this passage, which is an encouragement that we need to be prepared to go out into the world and that when we do, we should consciously take hold of the principles laid out in this whole book and wear them like a suit of armour and wield the truth like a sword, which again is someone else's talk, so we won't say any more than that. But you can see what God's doing here. He's building a picture for us. So in that vein, so there's always more to learn from God's holy word. Every time we go back to a passage, even when we've seen it 100 times, God reveals more to us. And in that vein, I want to read you a little bit more of that 2 Corinthians passage leading up to that ambassador verse that I read earlier. This is Paul trying to sum it all up. And I hope you'll see how it fits perfectly with us being light and why we need to live as children of light. Because we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord, we work hard to persuade others. God knows we are sincere, and I hope you will too. Are we commending ourselves to you again? No. We're giving you a reason to be proud of us so you can answer those who brag about having a spectacular ministry rather than having a sincere heart. If it seems we're crazy, it's to bring glory to God. And if we're in right minds, it's to your benefit. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. So we've stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old is gone, a new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Amen. This is why it's important that we're good ambassadors. This is why it's important that we are lights shining for God in the darkness, so that others who are trapped in the darkness can move towards the light, so that they too could accept Jesus as their Lord and Saviour, so that they can be given new life in him and become a new light in the darkness. And if there's anyone here today who hasn't accepted Jesus as their Lord and Saviour, please do come and grab Martin or myself after the meeting, or any point after I've sat down. Or you can do it right now if you like, that's fine. Because we would love to talk to you about what all this means. We would love to shine that light into your darkness and help you become a light, just like us. There we go. So, in conclusion, firstly, if you have been, thank you for listening. If not, wake up. I'll continue my teaching on this passage by asking one simple question. So what does Ephesians 5 verses 8 to 21 mean for us? Well, firstly, we need to wake up. Not just becoming a Christian, but accepting that we are one. Accept the true reality of God's kingdom and our place in it, so that Christ will illuminate us and we will become light. Then secondly, we need to be the light, to be his visible ambassadors in this world. And we do this by God's character developing in us as the fruit of having a spirit-filled life. We do it by carefully living according to God's wisdom, not doing the foolish things, but living according to his will and always giving thanks to him, then we will make the most of every opportunity. And we do it by shining light around us, allowing God to speak into people's hearts as they catch a glimpse. So finally, if you haven't paid any attention to anything else, I'd like to offer up a prayer for all of us, me included, because I am definitely speaking to myself this week. And if you want to join in, feel free. Don't feel that you have to. Father, please help us today and every day. Help us to remember who we are in you. Help us to show who you are by growing more like you in our character. Help us to show your ways by carefully living wisely according to your will. Please work through us to shine light into the darkness and speak into lost people's hearts so that they too might come to know who they are in you. For your glory, Lord. Amen.